from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Hello and welcome to the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm your host, David Salkeld, a constitutional conservative, husband, and homeschool dad. We've got a jam-packed show today, and we're going to tackle everything from the immigration bill to the Delta tax breaks, from the Department of Justice in California to Google in Missouri. So hold on, we're about to get things started. In January of this year, Congressman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia joined two other lawmakers in introducing immigration legislation. The bill includes interior enforcement, border security, an end to chain migration, and fixing the broken DACA program. Congressman Goodlatte, who is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, joined Tony on Wednesday.
Chairman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it is great to be back with you and your listeners.
Now, Congressman, as best as I can tell looking at this legislation, it appears that this delivers on what the American people want and what President Trump has requested. That's my take on it, but am I missing anything?
No, I think this is something that has widespread appeal. As people learn about it, they are very pleased to see that we are doing what the president has asked, and that is address the DACA situation for these recipients brought here illegally, usually by their parents a number of years ago. But at the same time, we are also doing what the president has called for and Speaker of the House has called for, and that is to prevent this problem of flouting our immigration laws from continuing into the future. Because while we're a nation of immigrants, we are also a nation of laws, and respect for the rule of law has been lost in this entire debate. So this bill, as you described it, addresses the president's four pillars of a permanent solution for the DACA recipients, but not a special pathway to citizenship. They qualify under existing laws, that's fine, but they'll be able to permanently remain here, work here, travel, own a business, so on, but they cannot have a special pathway to citizenship that's set up just for them. If, however, they can qualify based upon existing laws that other people have lawfully become citizens of the United States, they will be able to take advantage of that as well. In addition, we will also close the loopholes, secure the border. And, you know, when people come across the border, a lot of times they're not trying to evade the Border Patrol. They turn themselves right in and then say, I want political asylum, or I'm an unaccompanied minor. I want you to release me into the interior of the country. And under the Obama administration, that was done. Now the Trump administration doesn't want to do that, but they've found a number of loopholes in the law that we close in this bill. We eliminate the visa lottery, a crazy program that gives 55,000 green cards away every year, not based upon job skills that are needed in the country, not based on family, but based on pure luck. It has security risks, and it's simply unfair to people who are trying to come here and on long waiting lists to follow the law and come here legally. Finally, extended family immigration. And we're not talking about your immediate family, your spouse, your minor children. We always believe that's an important principle, that Americans should welcome an immigrant and they should be able to bring their immediate family with them. But extended family has resulted in people being able to bring their parents, their brothers and sisters, their adult married children. And then when those people bring people in, pretty soon you're talking about cousins and uncles and so on. So that's the chain that we're talking about. It doesn't serve the interests of the United States as much as a merit-based system like they have in the United Kingdom and Canada and Australia, where 70% of the immigrant visas are given based upon job skills, job offers, education. In the United States, it's less than 10% that goes on that basis. We're trying to change that.
Now, Chairman Goodlatte, you've been here a little bit longer than I have. I've been here in Washington for 15 years, and this has been an issue ever since I arrived. And it sounds as if we have a bill that puts us at the threshold of actually addressing this issue of illegal immigration, allowing us to get a handle on it, regulate it so that we can – as people come in and they become a part of the American family, and we can assimilate them into our system.
It does very much do that. And I think that's what the spirit of immigration has always been about in our country, and we've kind of lost that over time. And just trying to get us back to respect for the rule of law, understand that immigration is an important part of our nation's past, and it will remain an essential piece of our future, but it's also a two-way street. We want to have people come to the United States who are going to benefit our country, and our country will benefit people who want to come here. It's a two-way street. Right now, it's very much designed toward, well, I want to come there, but when I get there, I don't know that I want to give. It's I want to receive.
Right. I want to ask you one question about this, because I've already heard this from some who have taken shots at the bill, that this the 700,000 illegal immigrants, these children who – not all of them are still children. They're of age now, but they were brought here as children illegally by their parents. This tries to address that, I think, in a very realistic way, but it does not grant amnesty, which some claim.
Well, that's correct. What this bill says is that you will be allowed to remain in the country as they have, and you'll have a legal status, but you will not have a special pathway to citizenship. You can, like any other person who wants to immigrate to the United States and do so legally, you can earn that opportunity by taking advantage of our existing laws. But we're not going to create anything special that says, because your parents brought you here illegally at an early age, we're going to take all of these things for you in a special way that we would not do for someone whose parents brought their children here legally. We think that's fair, and it's not amnesty by my standard of amnesty. Now, some people call that
amnesty anyway. But they have to get in line, and they don't get to the head of the line. They have to get in line like everybody else to get on the path of citizenship. Correct?
Right, and they have to qualify in one of the categories that exists, so there will be no special one created that just they can have.
If you want to find out more about Congressman Goodlatte, head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a tax-deductible contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with a look at the Attorney General's lawsuit against California.
What is the purpose of the military? To fight and win wars. The Obama administration abandoned this basic, common-sense principle by allowing those who identify as transgender to serve. Thankfully, the Trump administration has announced plans to stop this policy from negatively affecting the military's true purpose. Recently, Representative Vicky Hartzler has championed this cause in Congress. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch Congresswoman Hartzler share congressional insight on this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is defending the Department of Justice's lawsuit against California over their adoption of so-called sanctuary laws. Joining Family Research Council President Tony Perkins to talk about the lawsuit is Representative Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee.
Marsha, welcome back to Washington Watch.
So good to be with you. Thank you. And I'm so pleased you're talking about this issue, because you look at states like Florida and Texas and Tennessee that have led in jobs growth, and then as you were saying, you look at the fiscal condition of the states, and California is one of the worst.
Well, they are, and it's the policies promoted by Jerry Brown and many of his colleagues who are more interested in trying to keep federal law enforcement, even local law enforcement, from doing their job when it comes to protecting America's borders and cities. Now, let me ask you this question. Does the Department of Justice have a case against the state of California?
Of course they do, because the state of California is saying not only to their cities, but to their employers and their citizens, do not comply with this portion of federal law. Now, I want you to think about this, Tony. If you are an employer in California, or if you run an organization and you think you've got a bad actor in front of you, they're saying don't report it. If law enforcement comes to you to investigate somebody, you're not supposed to even answer the question.
Yeah, the three areas that the Department of Justice is challenging California on is one of the laws you just described that makes it a crime for business owners to voluntarily help federal agents find and detain undocumented workers. It prohibits local law enforcement from alerting immigration agents when detainees are released from custody and create a state inspection program for federal immigration detention centers. I mean, this is just – it's over the top. But then when you hear the rhetoric – in fact, the state Senate president, pro tem Kevin DeLeon, who was actually competing for the United States Senate seat that Dianne Feinstein has out there, accused Sessions of having an ideology based on, quote, white supremacy and white nationalism, end quote. I mean, to me, that's reckless when you look at the fact you have an attorney general that's simply trying to enforce the law.
Well, you look at this as an entire package. We are – immigration, as you said, is federal law because it affects everybody. And this is one of the constitutional powers that Congress has. The administration doesn't have it. The states don't have it. And General Sessions is seeking to provide assurance to the American people that federal law is being complied with. And people want this, because it is something that is going to keep our community safe. It will keep our state safe. It will keep our country safe. Now, we all look at the Kate Steinle issue and remember that. That is someone that happened in California. That individual had been deported five times, came back in, and committed this crime. And Tony, it is things like that with these criminal illegal aliens that come into communities, and then communities will not work with ICE to deport them. That is the action that turns every state into a border state and every town into a border town.
Mm-hmm. So where does this ultimately end up, Marsha Blackburn, with the case between the Department of Justice and California? Is this going to end up at the Supreme Court?
I think it will end up at the Supreme Court. I certainly do. And just as with many different cases that end up there, when the House sued the HHS, the Obama HHS, over what they were doing with taking federal dollars and doing the subsidies in health care, and the House won that lawsuit. You know, that one ended up at the Supreme Court. And I think likewise we will see this lawsuit with DOJ. And, of course, the Supreme Court should side with the rule of law. You have to be in compliance with federal law, and the federal government does not have to support you if you're not going to comply with federal law.
I think you're right. I think it's cut and dry.
If you want to find out more about Representative Blackburn, just head on over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with Georgia's Lieutenant Governor, Casey Cagle.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? Pornography fuels the sex trafficking industry. Each click of pornography creates a demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. Victims of sex trafficking are often coerced into having abortions. To learn more about how you can help stop this triple threat, go to frc.org/traffic.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On the heels of the February 14th Florida school shooting, Atlanta-based Delta Airlines decided to get political by discontinuing a discount program offered to National Rifle Association members who were traveling to their annual convention in Dallas in May. Georgia lawmakers responded by stripping Delta of tax breaks they received on the fuel the airline purchased. Joining Tony to discuss the move is Georgia Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle.
Lieutenant Governor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you. Sorry I missed you on your visit to Atlanta. I'd love to have a chance to catch up with you, but it's good to be with you today on your program.
Well, it seems like I go through Atlanta quite often, so maybe one of these times we can catch up. Although I will say that, you know, after I saw this, once again, corporate activism on behalf of Delta, I sent them a message and have tried to shift as much as I can to some other airlines. But I think we've seen this over and over, and I think you've spoken out on this before, about these major corporations weighing into public policy. That there's a price to be paid for that, in my view.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Tony. And I think there's several lessons to be learned through this. Delta made a huge mistake weighing in to the boycott and the timing by which it took place. First of all, this negotiation that Delta did with the NRA was for their convention. So businesses do this all the time. They sell out mm-hmm. seats on planes. They sell out hotel rooms, all of those things. And this was done. And then they reversed course because of what took place in Florida, as if they were sending a message that to all law-abiding gun owners that this is not acceptable. And I view this kind of as a viewpoint discrimination, and I do not find it to be acceptable. And so they did have, as you articulated, a $50 million tax exemption on jet fuel. Their portion was smaller than that was going through the legislature. And I've sent a tweet out that was very clear that either Delta would reinstate that discount that had been issued, or that I would kill their legislation, and that's exactly what we did. And I think we made the right decision. I think there's two courses there. One is a course of did Delta really need an exemption on jet fuel? And many felt that they didn't, but when they weighed in on the boycott, that was really the straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, Governor Cagle, for one, as a former lawmaker, legislator, I applaud the action, because I think it's past time for lawmakers to send a message to these corporate activists who want to use their profits to weigh in on policy unrelated to their business. Now, I completely understand they have a right to lobby, and I had a top rating from the business community, and I'm all about low regulation, low taxes to promote economic growth. But they're increasingly weighing in on non-related issues, and I for one, am happy to see lawmakers finally pushing back.
Well, Tony, when we as conservatives stand together and we fight, we always win. You know, and that's the beauty. If we can get more conservatives to lock arms to arm and really go about a very, very clear message when there is this overreach against the core values and principles that we hold dear, we will win. But sadly enough, oftentimes, you know, people want to argue, about how far to the right you can be or how far to the left you can be instead of moving and advancing the ball. And so we won on this issue, and we're going to continue to win, obviously, for the citizens of our state and for the values that we hold dear. And, you know, the liberal media, along with the liberals across the country, have attacked me like you wouldn't believe, along with my family. And, they've obviously...
No, I would believe it. I would believe it.
You understand how that is. But you know, the issue here for me is that, you know, they want to make this an issue about just Delta and that business has the ability to do whatever they choose to do. But liberals constantly on their side of the aisle pressure big corporations to make decisions like this. And that's the reason we have to push back, and we can constantly get kicked, and yet we do nothing about it. And so as you, I am very much a free enterprise individual. I believe in capitalism, but on the same token, why
would any business divide their customer base in half? And that's basically what they've done. And that's the kind of mistakes that ultimately will come back to where shareholders will say, we've had enough of this. And I think we need to get back into the business of standing up and being willing to have the courage to do it. And, you know, it's just kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, you can bow or you can stand, and I'm choosing to stand.
Well, I applaud you and stand with you. I find it refreshing. Finally, standing, we see people standing up against big corporations that are running roughshod over the American people because, as you said, they're being squeezed by activists and they won't stand up to these left-wing activists. And so they put lawmakers in untenable situations. And I'm glad you called them out for it. And I applaud you, Governor.
Well,
so thanks so much.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
And I'll holler at you next time I'm coming through Atlanta.
Please do. I look forward to visiting with you soon.
You can find out more about Lieutenant Governor Cagle when you head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, I want to invite you to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air by going to TonyPerkins.com and making a tax-deductible contribution. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley.
What is the purpose of the military? To fight and win wars. The Obama administration abandoned this basic, common-sense principle by allowing those who identify as transgender to serve. Thankfully, the Trump administration has announced plans to stop this policy from negatively affecting the military's true purpose. Recently, Representative Vicky Hartzler has championed this cause in Congress. Go to frc.org/speakers to watch Congresswoman Hartzler share congressional insight on this issue.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, David Salkeld. Last November, Missouri's Attorney General launched an investigation into whether Google's business practices violate its consumer protection and antitrust laws, amid growing concerns over the influence of powerful tech companies. FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley.
Josh, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Well, General, you're the first AG in the country, if I'm not mistaken, to take on Google. I mean, it's a pretty big company, and you're going toe-to-toe with them.
Well, you know, they are probably, Tony, the most powerful corporation in the world. They certainly collect more information about each one of us than any other corporation in history. And look, I just want the facts. I want to know, what is Google doing with all of this information they're collecting on us? I want to know if they are telling us what they are really collecting, and I want to know if they are using their tremendous power, including their just tremendous market power in the search engine market and other markets, if they're using that to benefit themselves. We have seen evidence that allegations, reports that Google is using its market power to take information from competitors and use it to their own advantage, to keep out competitors who would want to get into the market and try and compete with them. But I'm even more concerned, Tony, about Google using this private, confidential information that they get from consumers, turning around and selling it to third parties. And I think we have a right to know what exactly is Google collecting from every.
And that's a pretty straightforward. I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question. I mean, I would think they. You, as the chief law enforcement officer, the attorney general there in the state of Missouri, asking that information to protect consumers and the citizens, that they would want to give you that information.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And I hope that they will be cooperative with the investigation. I mean, here's the fact of the matter, that my job as the chief law enforcement officer is to protect the people of my state and to look out for them and their safety and the safety of their families. And Google controls more information than any company maybe in the history of the world, more, again, private information about each one of us. And I'm going to keep after it until we know exactly what the facts are.
Well, General Hawley, I think you are on to something because increasingly the American people are skeptical of big tech companies. In fact, a majority of Republicans, one of the latest polls I've seen, who are generally opposed to government regulation and engagement, you know, and somehow putting too much emphasis on regulating business, actually want to see government look into what big tech is doing.
Well, and you know, when it comes to regulating business, I'm there with most Americans in that I think that usually government that steps in, particularly when they try to control business, it never works out. My concern here is that we have companies that are potentially using advantages, in some cases advantages the government has given them, in right. order to squelch competition, in order to collect information on consumers, and ultimately in order to harm consumers. But I think of it this way. I am for the free market, not for monopoly, and I am for right. free competition, because that's what protects producers and consumers.
Now, you're not the only one that has had concerns. Now, you may be the only state attorney general that's taken action, but the U.S. Federal Trade Commission started looking for evidence a couple of years ago, and even the European Union fined Google, I think, $2.7 billion for violating antitrust laws.
Absolutely, and it was an extremely large fine, I think one of the largest in EU history. And we also are investigating those very same antitrust allegations, which relate to whether Google is using its power, say, in the search engine market to prioritize its own companies by making them come up earlier in the search, you know, so that Google companies or Google affiliates are benefited by a search algorithm that's supposed to be neutral. But your point is exactly right, Tony. I mean, this is something the FTC looked into this earlier. Frankly, I thought the FTC's investigation under President Obama was not a very serious investigation. So I think it's incumbent on those of us who are law enforcement officers to do our jobs, to take a hard look at the facts, all I want are the facts, and to make sure that these companies are playing by the rules.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. I think some of these companies have using their power in ways that I think the American people are concerned about. I, for one, am. Attorney General Josh Hawley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about all of the topics we talk about on Washington Watch when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, while you're there, sign up for Tony's Washington Update. It's a daily email highlighting the important issues affecting your faith, family, and freedom. And if you find the weekend edition of Washington Watch informative and useful, we'd encourage you to tell your friends about Washington Watch. You can help us reach more people with this radio ministry by supporting our efforts and heading over to TonyPerkins.com and clicking on the donate button. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.